You know I'm right, the podcast that uncovers the origin stories of some of the biggest names in media, sports, entertainment, and so much more. Nick Durst here along with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, it's always a very exciting episode for you when you get to team up with a fellow Joe and have a two-on-one Joe handicap match here.
Absolutely, I love it. We welcome today somebody who is an actor, filmmaker, entrepreneur, and most notably, you could see him in one of his recent releases, The Bastard Sons. I had a private screening of it a couple of weeks ago. It was excellent. But without further ado, we welcome Joe Cernio to the program. And yes, this is a handicap match. We got two Joes to one Nick. Nick doesn't like that at all. Joe, how are you doing today, pal?
Good, guys. How are you? Happy New Year. And by the way, Joe 2, Joe 1, whatever one you want to take. Thank you for coming to that private screen. It was really, really, really cool. And it was pretty exciting. So I was glad you could make it.
Yeah, very smart of you, Joe, to get the media out there, the You Know I'm Right podcast. And
he was going strong. I think he's got the next 20 the entire year planned for podcasts from everyone you were talking to.
Kevin's coming on, right, Joe? We're gonna get Roger, absolutely. Frankie. Joe's gonna hook it all up. The whole movie is gonna be the whole cast.
That's great.
Gonna be on, hopefully.
That's great. Tomorrow's the big day. We got a couple. We've been doing the press screenings and whatnot, but a couple of PR opportunities that we've been doing. Kev and Frankie are out tomorrow on a couple of interviews. But yeah, it's pretty exciting.
All right, more on the movie coming up in a little bit. But first, we'll talk about the fact that you grew up where Joe is now, Jersey City. Jersey Joe's always on the go. Later moved to Hal. Obviously, you are an Italian. You live in New Jersey. So I got to ask you, you know, what's your favorite Mexican food in New Jersey?
Oof. You know, I'm not like a huge, I shouldn't say that, but I am. I love Mexican food. I'm in Asbury Park right now. So there's two really, really good Mexican food, Mexican restaurants here. My go-to though is just Italian food, like most of the time.
See, I set you up. Joe Calabrese, he thought I was going in Italian. I was like, let me just mix in there. I go with the Mexican.
Mexican's a good, it's hard to find really, actually Jersey City, probably. I don't know the name of it. It's on a corner of, it's downtown somewhere on a corner, but it's the little tiny place, and the Mexican food is absolutely amazing. I just don't know the name of it.
Calabrese, I would say Jersey City. You're familiar with that place at all?
We gotta track it down.
All right. How about that place in Woodbridge, Joey Cals? Tell Joe where he's got to go.
Oh, Jose.
That's your favorite spot.
that's a Staten Islander's favorite spot going into Jersey.
Gotcha. Where is that? In Woodbridge?
In Woodbridge, yeah. Right off one.
Nice.
So
yeah. Jersey City's pretty sweet. I miss Jersey City. I'm there like here and there, but
well, Joe seems to love it, Joe. He loves Jersey City. He's right near Hoboken, right near the PATH train.
Yep.
It's ho-hub over there. So
are you a lifer? Is it? You're never leaving?
It depends on the opportunity and what comes next.
Joe's got the West Coast or SoFlo in his mind. So that's where he wants to go. He's got his connections in Tampa. We had our business trip to Vegas 2 years ago. He loved it there. He's got his ties to Los Angeles. So he's more of a West Coast guy. But
West Coast, best coast, you know? But I'm like, my heart, we grew up here.
I feel you. I've talked to, Pete, my buddy Pete, who helped produce a couple of the last projects, but I said, hey, what are you doing? This was yesterday where it's 20 degrees here. And he's like, oh, I'm hiking up in Santa Monica and whatever. I'm like, I love the West Coast.
I got to go one day. So Joe, what made you want to pursue an acting career growing up? When did you decide, let me go this path? And was there anybody that really influenced you early on in your career?
Yeah, a lot of people influenced me. A lot of close friends from high school. One being Joe Kevin, who you met, Kevin DiDonato. I was never into it in high school. I was never into like theater or anything like that. I always loved movies. I was always Friday, Saturday nights home watching movies with my dad. But in Howell, there were a lot of talented people that came out of Howell. I was lucky enough to be very, very tight with Kev. We grew up together, so he was always into it, and got really into it after high school. So when I saw him doing a lot of stuff, a lot of television, a lot of film, it kind of piqued my interest a little bit. And then Tommy Pelfrey, who also came out of Howell, seeing him do the soaps and when I was just really, really cool. And I don't know why I never really got into it in high school, but I got shortly after high school, I just jumped right into it. Influenced by a lot of those guys and everybody else that you watch in these movies when you're younger, you know?
How valuable were your early experiences working in off-Broadway productions? You got a couple of uncredited work on sets, so you got to have some familiarity, early familiarity working on type movie sets. And what would be your tips for somebody who's trying to break in, younger, hard to find auditions? How would you advise them on securing auditions and alleviating those early concerns about doing well in auditions and the kind of anxiety that comes with, oh, I need to get a role or I need to get this, and you feel like a loser if you don't?
That anxiety is never, it never leaves. You know, you audition for 100 and something roles, you're lucky you get 1, 2, 3 or whatever. It's very tough. And you got to remember too, so I'm 43. I think I started when I was about 20, maybe even a little earlier. And that's just so weird to say, but over 20 years ago. And those were the days where you would actually go into New York and you have your envelope with your headshot and your resume in there. And you would literally leave that stuff on the cast director's desk or whatever it is. So it was a little easier to kind of go and do that now compared to digital, where it's just like send, click a button, hope it gets in front of somebody. But that mentality is it's kind of like I was a work, I still am, I'm a workhorse, I'll do anything. If somebody tells me I'm going to go do extra work for, 12 hours, but it's going to lead to something else, that's fine. Yeah, whatever. It is same thing with anything you do. You work your ass off to get to where you want to be. Giving advice now is so difficult because of how everything's changed. I'm not a fan of the online stuff. I'm not a fan of like what we're doing right here. I'm not a fan of auditioning like this. It's just different. I don't think you can really tell who a person is by this, by video. So it's changed a ton. The absolute best advice that I can give, and it's nothing pertaining to just acting or just this or just that, is just be patient. That's it. Be patient and just keep going after what you have to go after. It's just, whether it's, acting or building a business or whatever it is, entrepreneurship, just be patient, do it the right way. And, just get your ducks in order and ducks in a row and just do what you have to do there. But that's the best advice that I can give.
Makes sense. So for you, you're talking about going into Manhattan with your headshot and whatnot. Ultimately, you end up landing your first role, a first major credit on CBS's Out of the World, Turns. You ultimately move over to become a regular for ABC's All My Children. So what was that experience like for you being in the soap operas?
That's where I really really fell in love with the craft itself, As the World Turns, it was, all those soap guys, those guys are talented as shit. They're absolutely amazing. On point, quick, knowing what they have to do, knowing their lines. I was, it was all extra work on As the World Turns. I did extra work for a while on there, a lot of background work. And, I remember a friend of mine telling me that All My Children, they were holding auditions or whatever the case was. I don't know if it was an open call. It was one of those, but I wound up taking the tip and kind of going in an audition for him. And again, that was back when I can go in and face to face, leave a headshot in an envelope or whatever. And the casting director at the time, Bob Lambert, who is an amazing person, I was he was the casting director. I started dropping my info off. I auditioned two or three times before I actually landed anything on all my children. But I'll never forget it because it was November 27th, and I had auditioned I think a week prior, and I remember Bob calling me up and saying, "Hey, what's up?" Because at this time, three times or four times already, I auditioned, I didn't get anything. So I just thought it was another audition call. So he called up and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" He's like, "It's Bob Lambert. I just wanted to welcome you to Pine Valley." And I was like, "Oh shit." I was like, "Okay." I was like, "This is cool." And I did a couple of, you know, U5s background type stuff, leading into, well over, I think, 24 episodes, something like that, but lasted for a couple of years on the show. It was really, really cool. Met a lot of cool people. And that is what really got me into like the acting itself, and just watching these guys, you know, do their jobs. It was pretty amazing. I mean, you got to be on point for that type of stuff, that TV stuff. So it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
How hard was it to leave?
Wasn't hard at all, because I kind of got booted. It was I think my last. You guys probably don't know soap operas. I don't know. I never really got into the storyline so much. It was the Pine Valley the Pine Valley earthquake that ended my life there on all my children in Pine Valley Hospital. But that was right when they were moving from New York to LA, right around that time. And there was even some contract roles that, you know, that didn't kind of go with them. And that was that. So I had, I think one of my last episodes was that earthquake there. I think I was given like a heart transplant to someone or something on the show or whatever. It was an earthquake. But it was rough. It was cool. It was like, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But that led to still a lot of other things too. So.
Did you after an earthquake? Unbelievable. Right? I want to shift gears here because you mentioned before, again, entrepreneurship, what we included in the intro. Actually, you're included in the tech sphere. You have won CEO of the Year. You have experience building marketing agencies and companies. So I want to talk briefly about Shoreline Digital Marketing, Holly Lake Films, the strategy behind buying, expanding, and rebranding small businesses. And you mentioned before, big advice, whether it's acting or just anything in general, is having your ducks aligned. So when it comes to growing companies and getting exposure out there and ultimately having a vision and executing it, what behind the scenes work needs to be done in order to make sure you properly have those ducks aligned?
I mean, you guys probably hear this a lot. I know a lot of other people hear this a lot too, but I don't think I would have learned anything if I didn't just go for it and basically fail at something and then get up and try something new and then fail again and try something new. I mean, that's the basics of building, you know, building anything. Shoreline, I actually started the whole website thing, even prior, to kind of getting into acting. I've always been playing around with it. It's just kind of been something really, you know, fun for me to do on the side. So I started doing it for friends and other people I was working with. And that's how I kind of got into the whole website end of things. Then as like digital marketing and SEO and PPC got, you know, really popular, that's kind of where I took and said, okay, well, this is where I want to go as far as business wise, you know, it's how I want to make money and this and that, whatever the case was. So I just kind of started doing it on my own. And then, eventually that website, we started with the websites and that led to, you know, the digital marketing piece itself. I mean, it was just me for a long, long time. For a few years, I started my own business. I was working 7 days a week. I was doing very little acting because this is something I was doing on the side that kind of, obviously needed to pay bills and whatever the case was. I was doing little jobs, odds and ends here, but that's kind of how it started. I started doing it for friends and turned into an actual company. And then from there, you kind of get like, you kind of see like you want to challenge yourself, you know? So I challenged myself to do some other things, which, you know, buy a couple small businesses and build a digital part of Shoreline and get my name out there and, you know, build small businesses, do the same thing I did for my businesses, first clients to my businesses and see how it works. And that's basically how I strategize there. Same thing before, patience. That's what it is. And this is coming from a person that has zero patience at all.
No, so. That's me too. I have no patience. Joe's got all the patience in the world.
Oh, I have zero patience. Zero patience. It's like I want something yesterday. No. The entire company now. I mean, they don't let me touch anything. They don't let me go in there and make edits or anything like that, because it's like, you know, it needs to get done now. And things, the landscape of digital has changed so much, so it's not as easy as just going in and making a change anymore. There's just so many complicated parts and moving parts to someone's website or SEO strategy. But yeah, I have zero patience.
Were there any nerves like when you expanded and you started targeting clients who weren't people that you knew directly?
Any nerves? Like,
yeah, because you started working with friends and people who you knew in the industry, right? It started as a favor and they trust you, right? So after that point, when you're starting to find other people, you know, to work for and you're targeting other clients, right? What was like the nerve level? Like,
it wasn't too bad. You know why? Because I made sure no matter what that I knew my shit. That's it. Like if you're going to trust me with your money and to boost your business and whatever the case is, I'm going to make sure I know what the hell I'm doing before anything. So it wasn't too difficult. Anything like that is nervous. Like right now, like God forbid something happens. And like, let's say there's no, like the strike, you know, there's no acting work or whatever it was. And we couldn't audition and we couldn't promote. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. God forbid something happens with the company. It's like, what does an entrepreneur have to fall back on? It's not like I've been working here or whatever in this company and I have a 401k and it's nothing like that. I mean, you know, you're determined and you want to build and you make sure you know what you have to do to kind of get, you know, get that company moving, get yourself moving. So it is nerve wracking, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, I just made sure I knew my shit, that way I can go ahead and continue to build. Believe it or not, I think Shoreline's gone off 14, 15 years. And I think the first like four or five clients that we started with are still with us today.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a couple friends that, you know, that that had businesses that maybe don't anymore or whatever it is. But we have we have quite a few that jumped on board with us then that are still with us, you know. So and now it's, you know, companies on the East Coast, West Coast, Australia, everywhere. So it's pretty wild.
It's great to hear. Very good piece of advice. You got to know your shit. But now we get to talk about the fun stuff, right? So at the top, I mentioned The Bastard Son. So this is the big production, big project that's taken a lot of your time over the last couple of years. I got to see the special screening of it. It's ultimately releasing in theater soon. It will be available to stream for anybody who wants to watch the movie. So this is going to be a very loaded question, so just answer it the best you can. You touched on your relationship, your childhood relationship with the director, Kevin Donato. I met Kevin. He was an amazing dude. But walk us through the process of having the idea come to fruition, right? There's this process of having an idea greenlit and then all the behind-the-scenes production work that goes into it. So describe being a part of that process, figuring out the casting situation, because from what I gathered, you know, the people behind this movie were amazing. The people who starred in it were very, very great. Nick mentioned Frankie Edgar, who was very, very funny in the movie. I don't want to spoil too much, but walk us through everything that happened behind the scenes, how everything came to fruition, the locations that you wanted to use. It's a Jersey gangster type of movie, right? It's got that real thick roots in Jersey, so I think a lot of people will notice that when they watch it. Walk us through how everything came together and ultimately where you would like to see the movie go now that it's going to be released soon.
Again, thank you for coming out. That was awesome of you. it Tomorrow it's in from July 5th to July 11th. It's in select theaters and on demand starting tomorrow as well. All platforms, iTunes, Amazon, stuff like that. So yeah, it's really, really exciting. I'm not gonna this the story itself, the film itself, I'm not gonna take too much, you know, credit for that. That is definitely Kevin's, you know, baby. He wrote the script, produced it, directed it. I jumped in as producer. We help each other out on a ton. You know, a lot of the IMDb projects that we're on are basically, you know, both of us producing. So he knew exactly what he wanted as far as characters, cast, and he kind of wrote it that way for, you know, for each of us. Putting it together, like, you know, anything else, it's always going to have its challenges. The production part of it, and then if you're acting and producing in it, again, even more challenging than just kind of just acting in something or just producing something. But on Kev's part, it was directing, acting, producing, executive producing. So he had a bulk of that weight on him, and he absolutely nailed it. You know, I did jump in. I helped with most of the locations that you see in the film. Were all, you know, locations that I worked on to get for, you know, certain things that Kev kind of wanted to portray. A lot of the businesses that I owned were used in there for some locations. A couple of pieces of property in the Poconos we used. So it was very easy on that level. Usually when you have a production, it's like for instance, Loved. I shot Loved right after The Bastard Sons. So I went from Jersey, Poconos to Joshua Tree, California, where again, acting and producing. So you had the locations you got to kind of look for because you really couldn't, you know, you couldn't use anything. I know one person, Joshua Tree, that helped us out a little bit, but you have the casting, you have, you know, this, you have that. Luckily, I have a really good team behind me. So does Kev. We both do. Everything from directors, producers, and whatnot really, really helped out. So he had the bulk of the weight on his shoulders there with that. And I do think he nailed it. And for having to write it and then kind of act everything out, and put everything together and do what you need to do, he did a phenomenal job. I think the movie came out great. I did help a lot as much as I could as far as producing and whatnot. And it was easy because the way Kev kind of wrote it, again, he wrote it for us. You know, Dobson was me, you know, Frankie and Roger and those guys, he wrote it knowing that that's who he wanted to play those roles. So it was pretty interesting on how he did it. And Kev's vision is that I love it. I love the vision that he has. It's an old school gangster film. Like it's an old school indie film that, you know, that I love that stuff. That's, you know, that's the stuff that we dreamed of making back, you know, back in the day. But again, at the end of the day, it's not only everything that we do, it's everything that everyone else helps with, the support and whatever. So there's a lot that went into it. And whatever came out of it, hopefully everyone likes it, is because of what we did and who helped and things like that. So
yeah,
everything's a challenge like that, but it was a pretty wild ride, and we have a hell of a lot more coming out too, so we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So you mentioned some of your businesses, so I'm just curious when the three of us are going to get together and eat at Red Rose Bakery, one of your places. Will Joe and I make a cameo in the next movie?
Yeah, why not? Why not? We have, I'm working on one right now. We have a feature that Kevin and I wrote last year that we want to try to get off the ground. We just shot a pilot in Colorado with Robert Davi. Robert Davi, Malik Whitfield, who is also in The Bastard Sons, Peter Dobson, myself, Aaron O'Brien, Gary Cairns. We had an unbelievable cast, but we just finished that pilot. We shot that in Colorado in a little, well, I shouldn't say little, but it's a ranch out in Cortez, Colorado. So we have that coming up, and we got a couple of other projects lined up. But yeah, I can squeeze you guys in there. As far as the bakery goes, I mean, I tried to take some of that old school Jersey City style, you know, bakery, I guess, recipes or whatever else. But that whole old school bakery feeling that you get when in like Jersey City and Brooklyn and all that other stuff, we tried bringing it to the Jersey Shore, and so far so good. It's working well, but we can maybe we'll have our production meeting over.
Let's do
amazing.
It.
Amazing. We're gonna have credits in an independent movie.
And we're gonna have like we're gonna have pastries. I mean, I'm so excited for the food now.
I think Al Sapienza, Al Sapienza's part in well, one of his parts in The Bastard Sons, that was at Red Rose, upstairs at the office. That was pretty cool.
So you know, we're excited for that. So let's actually make it happen. But you mentioned love, you're talking about horsepower, so what could you tell us without going into too many details about when we would potentially be seeing those projects?
Horsepower's in the editing stages right now. As soon as it's done editing, it's going into like sound, coloring, and all that. Loved has changed so much for me as an actor. The story behind Loved was I was kind of, I mean, if you guys saw pictures, it was a different. I wanted to challenge myself even more than I have in the past with Loved. So there's no slick back hair or clean shaved or anything like that at all. It was the complete opposite, which really, really, really got me into different types of characters, different types of acting. So the prep for that prior to filming out there out west was quite a bit. Very, very challenging, but it's to date has legit brought us all over the world. It's played at I couldn't even tell you how many festivals, all the way from here to Italy. They took us out to flew us out to Italy for the Omni Corti Film Festival.
Oh my gosh.
It's really, I mean, again, it's, if you're going to do something, just give it your all. And that's what I kind of put into Love. Same thing like we put into The Bastard Sons, I put into Love, I put into Horsepower. And it's to date, I think right around 70 something awards, best thriller, best horror thriller, things like that. And then I think what we're going to try to do is at least try to get it out on some of the platforms, hopefully maybe next month, end of next month, so everyone can kind of see it. It's a wild ride. There's the short version, and then we have a pilot version of it. And then after that, you know, we'll ride the wave with The Bastard Sons. We'll get Loved out there, and then hopefully get Horsepower out there too. But I'd like you guys to check it out. I could send you some info. It's a pretty wild film. You can check out the trailer on watchloved.com. It's pretty wild.
I gotta go check it out for sure.
Check it out.
Looking forward to that, definitely. So what would your advice be for people pursuing film or television production and directing? And what really goes into the process of, after you make the movie, like getting it onto these platforms or setting up getting it in theaters? What's that whole process like?
I mean, that's just, you got to do your homework. Number one, you got to have patience.
Patience, that's the theme.
Which especially when you're dealing with like something that, like you make a film, it's like, of course you want people to see it. I want it to play in theaters. I want it to play online. I mean, it's got to be done right. It's got to be, you know, to a certain quality. And then from there, you try to get distribution and, you know, in and out of meetings. And Kev handles a lot. Kev's really, really good at that stuff with the distribution part of things. So a lot of what happened with The Bastard Sons is to his credit. He worked endlessly to get that done. And again, the quality and whatnot shows. It's just making sure you have the right tools, making sure it's organized, making sure everything is kind of done the right way. It's a very, very long process. Everything from production, pre-production, post-production, editing, sound, you know, things like that. But it is a process. Again, that you have to love what you do. And if you love what you do, you can kind of make magic from there. It's just, you know, I absolutely, out of anything I do, I absolutely love filmmaking. I absolutely love acting. So I'm very particular at certain, you know, certain things, the way I do certain things, and the way that it's going to come out, the way I want it to come out. So, again, I don't have patience with that either, but you kind of have to force yourself to have the patience to get it done. I think, listen, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that don't love what they do. Right. You have to love what you do. You have to love what you do. And you have that passion, you have that fire that keeps burning. It'll take you where you want to go. You have to just keep following that dream. That's all. That's basically at the end of the day. I'm not going to be making cookies for, you know, for forever. I don't want to be building websites forever. And I'm helping people do that stuff. And it is what it is. But the filmmaking and the filmmaker of me, that's the dream. And that's the fire that keeps burning. That's definitely not going to go out. So.
Gotta love what you do. I got a quick question for you, only because I've seen some of the videos on your phone from Horsepower, the cameras, yeah, the lenses that you shot it in, the quality of it. And that was even before the whole editing process, right? Yeah. But more importantly, you bonded with a horse. Now, I don't think Nick's an animal guy, but our listeners, for anybody out there who is an animal person, you can bond with an animal. So you were on the ranch, very specific location.
Bond with, you can actually talk, you could talk to these guys. Like, you could talk to these things. I didn't know that.
So share us your experience quickly about bonding with the horse that was on the set.
All right. I mean, it's such a long, oh man, it's such a long story. I don't know if I could quickly do it, but so here at the beginning, so Peter Dobson and I, we have this idea about this pilot, whatever. DJ Higgins writes up the first episode, and I said, okay, we're gonna go location scout. So I fly out to LA. Pete and I drive from LA to Colorado. We had three ranches set up. Now, if you look at my if you look at my Instagram, there's a lot of pictures of Booger. He's a Maltese. He's a big white 140 something pound dog. So we drive to the first ranch. We had three that we were going to. We drive to the first one. We drive in and visually, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. This ranch actually sits on 2,000 acres of ancient ruins. It's absolutely amazing. We knew we needed horses. We knew we needed this. We knew we needed that. The ranch had everything. Not only that, I met Booger. And that kind of like sold it for me. But they had the horses, they had whatever, you know, whatever we needed. We actually wound up falling in love with the ranch owners, the managers, the kids that were there. It was like, to the point where we left the ranch, we did not even go to the other two ranches. We said, hey, this is what we're going to do. So we worked everything out. And I started working with Savannah, who's the daughter of the ranch managers there. I think she's 19, and you got to see what this girl can do on a horse. It was incredible. And I said, I basically want to do that. Like, everything, she's running, she's doing this, she's doing that, whatever. I said, we got a couple of scenes that we want to write in the pilot, and I'm going to have to learn how to ride a horse. Little did I know I would be actually like running and riding. But that's how well she taught. So once everything was set up, we spent about, I'd say six months coming back and forth from Jersey to LA to Colorado, from this and that. And we started training on this horse. And not only did they teach you to, or teach me to ride, but they taught me how to, you know, take care of the horse and saddle the horse and this and that. And during all of this, I didn't know there was like specific ways that you can communicate and talk to a horse. And it got to the point where Kansas, who is this beautiful horse on the ranch, Savannah's horse, it got to the point where I was going up to this horse and the horse was like putting his head on my shoulders, or putting her head on my shoulders. And we were just, we legit bonded, and it was unbelievable. And we spent so much time training and training and training and training and training. The big day comes, the guys are getting ready with their steady cams, and they're building this whole steady cam rig to watch, you know, basically to ride next to me in the field while I'm running on the horse. The steady cam cart's gonna be next to me. And what happens? But Kansas gets sick, and we can't ride Kansas that day. It was not only nerve-wracking, it was like heartbreaking because it got really sick, a colic, I think it got. So in my head, I'm just like, shit, we just killed this horse because like all of the stress and whatever else that we're doing, the cameras. I mean, it was a big crew. It was a 20-something person crew. And I'm getting nervous because the horse is sick. Now in my head, I'm thinking that we made the horse sick. So it was crazy. But she says, don't worry about it. She goes, we have another horse coming. I said, okay. And this horse that they had, Sammy, put it this way, Sammy and Joe did not get along at all. It was, the horse was, looked like, it was like giant. It was a lot quicker, a lot of whatever, but I got on this horse and it was running through fields and running on mountains and running here and running there. It was nothing like what the experience I had with Kansas. But it worked. We got the scene. But at the end, I really, like, I truly understood, like, holy shit. Like, I bonded with this horse, which I never knew you could do. Like, we actually talked to each other or whatever it is. But it happened. So it was just one of those wild, wild experiences. I actually, believe it or not, we filmed in August. We trained on the horse prior for a couple months. Filmed in August. I've been back to the ranch every single month since.
Wow.
Yeah, hanging out with Kansas, hanging out with Booger, hanging out with Ming and Gary and Rebecca and Terry and Savannah. It's an amazing place. It's pretty cool. But if you look at my Instagram, there's pictures of Booger and all them all over the place. But it's a very magical place, and to be able to shoot a modern day Western on 2,000 acres of like just ancient ruins and like bonding with a horse and learning how to ride a horse and all this stuff. It was incredible. It really was.
Jersey Joe becoming Colorado Joe very, very soon.
Cowboy Joe. I love it. I love Cowboy it. Joe. There was actually a couple of times in the past few months that they actually got really busy because it's a working ranch, but you can go and stay. And my girlfriend and I, we woke up 5:36 in the morning. We helped get the cattle in and get the sheep and the eggs with the chicken. It was crazy, but we actually helped like work the ranch a little bit here and there. But it's a pretty amazing place.
Yeah. I went through your Instagram. It looks amazing. I can't wait to visit.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool spot. Maybe we'll get a couple of Red Rose pastries and cookies, and we'll go out to the ranch to talk about our next production.
Okay. That sounds good to Nick and I. You mentioned working with Robert Davi, other names before you worked on The Bastard Sons, like Al Sapienza. So who are just some of the other cool people that you've got to meet working in the entertainment industry? Obviously, Mike Marino. We always mention him when
we get a guest.
He's the best. But any other cool names that stick out, you know, working in the entertainment industry that you've gotten to meet over the years?
All those guys, man. I mean, Robert Davi. I mean, people like, oh yeah, that's the dude from the Goonies. But I mean, so much more than the Goonies. And the guy's got a voice of gold. I don't know if did I don't know if Mike Marino told you that story, or maybe we were talking about it when we were in his mother's basement. It was randomly Robert Davi called, and he's like, "Hey Joe, if you're in the area, we got I'm doing this show." He sings Sinatra, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to, it's absolutely friggin' incredible. But he invited me out. It was this jazz club in Beverly Hills, and Peter Dobson and I went out. Little did we know that the second I walked in, I bumped. Obviously, I went up to see Robert in his room or whatever. Coming down the steps from Robert, I saw Mike Marino, I saw Al Sapienza, and then Malik Whitfield were there. So it was like all of us there, which was absolutely incredible. But yeah, Malik, which, you know, thanks to Kevin too, I met a lot of these guys, but Malik and and Al Sapienza, and Robert Davi, obviously. I worked with Jason Priestley in the past, Vinny Pastore, Vinny Vella, God bless him, who's not with us anymore. But I had the opportunity, and I worked with so many great, great, great people, and just makes everything better. Even some of the indie, the indie people. Erin O'Brien, she's a phenomenal actress. She played Nikki in Horsepower. But yeah, it was a lot of Gary Cairns. He's a phenomenal actor who I knew from Pete's friends list there, and it was an honor to work with all these guys. But it's pretty wild who you meet when you're out and about and work.
Absolutely. So Joe, you've accomplished a lot so far in your life and your career. Was there any particular moment where you wanted to pursue something, you asked somebody for advice, they said, Joe, don't do that, it's an awful idea, and you said to them, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway, and in the end, you'll see why it is that I'm right?
Yeah, I do a lot. basically, like, my mom tells me that a lot, I think. My mom actually works at Shoreline. Imagine working with your mom every day. I love her. I love your mom. But everyone, anything I do, my entire family thinks I'm crazy. Friends think I'm crazy too. But I think now, I don't want to make myself, I don't want to pat myself on the back by any means, but I think now, I think they kind of know when I put my mind to something, I'm definitely gonna get it done. When the best was Loved, because again, I just gotten off two features, and I really, really wanted to shoot Loved because it was just such a different role, a different part. It was a completely different production. So when I started calling a couple people and reaching out to a couple people, I said, hey, we're gonna shoot this film. And everyone's kind of excited about it. And they said, yeah, we're going to shoot Joshua Tree. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then some people were just like, yeah, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. I went, I shot it in Joshua Tree. We shot, I think, 15 or something pages in 2 days. And the result was, was exactly what I said the result was going to be. So that's a good example. Everyone thought I was out of my mind there. But, the film goes on to win how many awards, plays all over the world, and whatever. So again, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, and sometimes do it times 10 if I have to. From what you mentioned before, Joe, like getting into all this is pretty incredible, because you start from project one, you want to get better with project two, and then three has got to be even better than two, and then four has got to be even better than three. That's when I started looking at lenses and cameras and things like that. That just, when you get into that, that's pretty incredible too. Because like I said, there's you get this footage that's not even edited that looks absolutely incredible. It's like, wow, I made that. Like, we made that. Wow, that's pretty wild. So yeah, anything I do, I'm gonna shoot to get it done. And I think a lot of friends and family and whatnot know that by now. But who knows? There could be something crazy I do where maybe you guys will tell me I'm out of my mind at some point. But
be happy to do so. But I know you're not a fan of video, but like, that's how I feel every day with the podcast that Nick and I are doing right now. He's the one who started it, but he brought me on early, and it's becoming absolutely electric with the amount of guests that we've had, the amount of the quality of the guests that we get, the diversity of the people that we get on this show. So that's how I feel, very, very similar. But Joe, we thank you for your time. We appreciate it. A lot of really, really great insights. Can't wait to be a feature in one of your future projects. Going to turn Nick and I into future film stars. But what we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So we know you have a lot going on. We wish you the best of luck moving forward with anything. So if you have anything that you would like to personally share or promote for yourself that you haven't already, by all means, go ahead and do so. And again, we appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys. Like I said, you don't have, like, as an actor and filmmaker, it's the support is limited. And like, even someone like you that took the time and came out, and I mean, what do we meet once, and you're sitting there and you come all the way out to Cranford and you sit in the theater with us, man, that's you don't get to meet a lot of people like that, a lot of people like you guys. So I appreciate that. I thank you. I thank everyone who's supported you know, supported all of my crazy endeavors and whatnot, and continue to do so. But if I can help anyone out or help whatever or answer questions, hit me up. Instagram's my probably my favorite, but joesernio.com, Instagram Joe Sernio. Yeah, hit me up. I wanna chat. So if I can help you guys out in any way, I absolutely will as well. So
there you have it. That's gonna do it for this episode of You Know I'm Right. For my co-host Joe Calabrese, for our guest Joe Sernio, I am Nick Durst, and this has been You Know I'm Right.